commentary, had a chance to rant unintentionally. Wasn't my desire, but the weasels, the spineless weasels abound in Washington. You've got spineless weasels that are protesters. You got people writing op-eds anonymously. You got weasel news organizations publishing those anonymous op-eds. The lack of courage, boldness. If you think you're doing something right and you don't have the strength, the boldness, the courage, the conscience to stand on it, then is it really right? I think you need to start questioning yourself about that. Well, I might get fired. Well, then keep your mouth shut. Yeah, but I got to help. Then go somewhere else and help where you can be open about it. But anyway, I've been talking about the weasels. Oh, my gosh, the weasels on Capitol Hill are out in full force. It was interesting. I heard some clips yesterday on the news, last night on the news, talking about showing Nancy Pelosi talking about the Democrats care about the deficit. We are not going to raise the deficit. That was from 2007. In 2008, President Obama on the campaign trail in North Dakota said, George Bush's debt is shameful. Shameful. He said it's unpatriotic. It's irresponsible, I quote. It was $9 trillion. He and the Democrats doubled that. For some reason, we never, commentators, never want to question Democrats on these ridiculous economic numbers they come up with. You know why? Because all politicians, Republicans and Democrats, know one thing. The same thing they've known for the last 30 years. And they believe it hasn't changed. That this can only be because enough of them have not run in to financial issues listeners at town hall meetings. But when surveyed, the vast majority of voters, when surveyed, and they're given a multiple choice, saying, what is the one thing that you know least about before you vote? And when one of the multiple choice answers is the economy, it is the number one choice of voters. Now, look, let's think of this logically. If you're a politician, you're giving a speech, you're doing a town hall meeting, you're trying to appeal to your constituency so that you can get votes. Think about this. Maybe you're being interviewed by a reporter. And you're saying that reporter is probably one of those people that check that box. That's the thing they know least about. Think about how beautiful this is to politicians. Understand they are free to say whatever they want to say. They're free to lie. They're free to fabricate numbers rather than just put some sort of slant to them. They're free to grab some wacko left-wing think tank group of economic numbers and use them. And if they say it very eloquently, and they say it with a sense of authority, then everybody's going to believe it. Remember, we're talking about people that know nothing about this. And it would appear as though nothing has changed on that front because they're still doing it. So you have Democrats now are adopting this mantra of Republicans saying that they're the only ones that care about deficits. And nobody on mainstream media is saying to these folks, wait a minute. The Democratic Party did in 8 years what it took George Washington to George Bush to do. and they've doubled the deficit. So from George Washington to George Bush, we got $9 trillion. From Barack Obama to Barack Obama, we got another $9 trillion. They care. What do they care about the deficit? What? I mean, really? They care about the deficit when they've got politicians, secretaries of the cabinet, talking about 2% GDP growth is all we're going to get, and they're doubling the debt at the very same time they're doing that, because they understand the more money they control, the more money they spend, the more debt they get into, the more social control they're going to have. Wait a minute, they're worried about the debt and they passed Obamacare? Really? Oh, no, now we just want, you know, if you can't pay for it, we're not voting on it. Okay. Kind of like Obamacare. They're already running on a platform of raising taxes. They want to repeal Donald Trump's tax plan. They're running on raising taxes. Do you? You got to give them credit because they're so convicted about the wrong of lowering taxes that they want to take more money out of people's pockets. And they think that's going to be a winning formula for them. It may be at the state of our society. It may be. Because after all, that's what socialists do. They take money. They raise taxes. So there's a lot of people maybe that are going to say, this is great. It's getting us one step closer to socialism. That's possible. I don't know. Just saying. Oh, man. 844-707-5533. We had a full board. We don't now. All our lines are open except one. And I'm going to Paul from Florida right now. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Dan.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks for your stand for the Lord and your ministry.
You're welcome. Thank you, Paul.
First time I've called. Anyway, I live in Central Florida, and I work for a county government under the state retirement, FRS.
Okay.
And I put 30 and a half years in, retired, and I chose not to do the drop and take my money out. Roll it out.
Okay.
Have a friend of mine invest it. Unfortunately, I got hit in 08, you know, pretty bad. But anyway, my question is, are you familiar with the drop program versus the staying in state retirement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are your thoughts on it? I have friends that are I'm back into the county government. I was out for a couple of years, and I chose to go back because of the economy and so forth, and all I was paying out for health insurance. So anyway, I've been back for 10 years, but I have friends that have never retired. They're getting close, and they're questioning, do I stay in state retirement, or do I roll it out, have someone manage it, and be liquid somewhat and so forth? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, look, you've worked all your life hard. I like the drop program. You've worked all your life hard. Mm-hmm. You did it because you were hoping someday to retire and get an income for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That is an extremely valuable thing. And when you think about, I would say it's a great idea to take your money out. Oh, Paul, I'm right up against this break here. I'm sorry. I'm going to put you on hold. If you want to hold, you can.
Yeah, I'll hold.
And then I'll come back to you, but I'll answer your question one way or another. Hold on. Folks, financial issues, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Dan Celia. I sure would appreciate it if you would consider partnering with me in the Ministry of Financial Issues. You'll have access to my stock picks that come out every Monday, along with my commentary. You'll get access to our conference call that I do with our partners once a month, our alert system. that I send out as often as necessary to tell you when to sell a stock, maybe give you some comfort during a volatile time, or maybe when to buy a particular stock. You'll get access to the asset allocation model, so you'll know how to manage the portfolio right for you, and much, much more. We sure would appreciate it if in your stewardship, you would partner with Financial Issues. Go to financialissues.org, financialissues.org. Partner with us and support this ministry. It sure would be a blessing. Go to financialissues.org, financialissues.org to support the ministry.
Listen, if you're not going to financialissues.org on a regular basis, I've got a reason why you need to go at least now. Financialissues.org, Christian Community Credit Union, a Christian, biblically responsible credit union. Great loan rates, mortgage rates, great CD rates. Christian Community Credit Union. Go to financialissues.org. Click on the CCCU banner to start banking from a biblical perspective.
At Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries, our goal is to help Christians make financial decisions that honor God.
I've been listening to your show now for 2 years, and I've learned so much. I've been greatly blessed.
I really do appreciate your program. I really learn a lot.
Every day, people are blessed by the work done here at Financial Issues.
My husband and I have been a partner since July, and I love your ministry.
I appreciate your ministry, and just God bless you for what you do.
Go to financialissues.org and become a partner today.
Welcome back, 844-707-5533. Talking to Paul from Central Florida, and Paul was asking a question about the drop program and retirement and taking your money out and giving it over to an investor to manage and what I thought about that. So let me just, Paul, go back to that a little bit. So, yes, that the notion, for instance, what you did in 08 or whatever that was in 04 or 05, whenever you retired, the first time retired, you did that. I'm not against that. Here's the problem, though. It's really hard for me, more of a, an emotional thing, because I care about our listeners. I don't want anybody to get hurt. And, you know, it's easy for me to say years ago, when I had a trust company, I'm managing hundreds of millions of dollars, and people would do this, you know, well, I got $1.5 million of my, and I would say, just let me manage it. You know, but I could say that very easily because I felt like I was always going to do the right thing for them. I was on top of it. They always did good. They always grew their money. They always had money to live off of. And it was the right thing to do. But unfortunately today, things are very different. And so by me saying it's a right thing to do and it's a good thing to do, I'm saying it's hard to know, because you're dependent upon a financial advisor that first and foremost generally has their best interest at heart, and their best interest in the way that where they put things and how they place things might not be the best thing for the individual. So I have a problem with that, because your number one, or your friends that are getting ready to retire, their number one concern, I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what it ought to be. Their number one concern ought to be, am I going to have enough money coming in every month that, number one, I'm never going to outlive that money coming in every month, and it's going to be sufficient and consistently sufficient for me to live off of. That's got to be their number one concern. Now, oftentimes it isn't. A lot of times their concern is, wow, I've got this huge pot of money. I've never thought I'd have this much money. And I want to make sure my kids get it, my heirs get it, whoever's going to get it. I mean, I want to make sure I'm going to hoard it, I'm going to save it, I'm going to invest it, I'm going to try to grow it. And oftentimes they find themselves in need of supplementing their income. They got to dip into this money from time to time. And oftentimes it can get out of control to where they might outlive it, or it might go down in value as they're drawing against it. So you got to have, if you're going to take the lump sum, if you're going to do that, you got to be able to be and in a portfolio that is, in my opinion, I'm a Wall Street guy, I'm a stock guy. So in my opinion, you've got to be loaded up with good, solid companies. You don't need to take risk to make money. You can have great, solid utility companies, other companies, preferred stocks, things that are a little bit low risk. There's still always going to be risk, but low risk, but that are paying very good dividends, that you're making good income. You can build an income portfolio that you're actually living off the income and you're not dipping into principal. You don't need to because you've got enough income. You've got sufficient income. That's an ideal situation. At the end of 10 years, not only will you have been living off the income, but in all likelihood, by the end of 10 years, you're going to have more money than you started with, and you're still living off the income. That's an ideal situation. The vast majority of financial advisors don't manage individual stocks. They don't even know where to begin doing that. They're putting people in insurance products, and they're putting people in mutual funds, and they're not even thinking about anything else because they either can't because they're not properly licensed to do it, or they don't know how to, they wouldn't even know where to begin. That's a problem. Now you're exposing your portfolio sometimes at far more risk. The only thing that I promise people, that I can promise you and your friend, you can promise your friends, that the only thing they're going to care about someday, I don't know what day that'll be, whether it's 75, 65, 85, whatever it is. There will be a day that the only thing they care about is how much money they have coming in every month. They're not going to care about their portfolio. They don't want to think about the economy going down. They don't want to be concerned about it. They don't want to worry about it. They don't want to watch it. They don't, you know, all they want to know is they can pay their bills and still live off of what they have coming in and their Social Security and so on and so forth. And they've got to be thinking about income. So here's the rule of thumb that you can tell them that they ought to consider. If they look at the county government saying, look, when you retire, you're going to get, you know, I'm making up numbers here, you're going to get $900 a month in retirement. If you take a lump sum, you're going to get $900,000. If they take their lump sum and they multiply that lump sum by 6% and they divide that 6% by 12 months, and that income is less than the $900 a month that they are being promised for the rest of their life, then remember what I said, the only thing they care about is how much money they can come in. They save that money. They have that retirement all their life because they wanted to make more income. They wanted to have income to retire on. Then they got to think long and hard about taking the income. If it's close, then find an investment advisor, a good investment advisor, that is going to put them in individual stocks.
Right.
And get that 6%, maintain the principal, and grow that principal so that they're not dipping into principal every month when they take their draw.
Yes.
That's what's got to happen. Because the kiss of death for every retiree is going through a 2008, and there will be another 2008 at some point in time, and another one after that. And you're drawing money out of your principal as the market is coming down. If you're in a situation you do that, it's never going to recover. You're never going to recover. It's almost impossible.
Right.
And it destroys the portfolio. If you're drawing money out that is what it's earning, and those earnings continue even when the value is going down, who cares? It's not a big deal. You don't even have to care because the value is going to come back up.
Sure.
Going to recover back up if you haven't taken the principal. So there's some of the fundamental things that you need to help your friends understand that you know they've got to look at it very, very carefully. There is great value in saying, I'm going to receive $950 a month for the rest of my life no matter what the economy does. And there's something for to be said for that.
Yes. That's great. That's great information, and it makes total sense. And I have the gentleman that does my, manages mine is a brother in the Lord. He's in my church, and his dad's an attorney. And anyway, but he's a great guy. He's very conservative, and I think he's doing well. You know, I think it's in a portfolio, just like you're saying.
Right, right.
And I think it's doing well. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm trusting the Lord completely, you know, and if he wants me to do different, I know he'll show me. And so that's my heart, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Well, that's where your heart should be. And, you know, I hope that it's somebody that's thought, maybe somebody that's listened to the program that knows about being biblically responsible with those investments, that we're not grieving the heart of God by investing our money in pornography and abortion and those things. And, you know, that's a whole nother issue and something that you might want to talk to him about, because I can, assure you the Lord's going to honor that and bless that as well. So it sounds like you're doing the right thing. You got your heart in the right place. But, you know, that's some great food for thought to give to your friends. They really need to help. They need to understand that. And there's some great advisors out there. They're just hard to find.
Yeah, you're right. And so anyway, but thank you. God bless you, Dan. And thanks so much for your ministry. And I'll be praying and I will give.
Well, I sure appreciate it, Paul. And I just thank you for finding the program. I'm glad you found us. And
God thank.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Fine appointment.
I'm sure. So tell your friends about it. And you keep listening. If you have any other questions, you give us a call. Thanks, Paul. God bless you.
You too, brother. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, good stuff. And, you know, it is so important that we, you know, I know I talk about this so often, folks, I because it is my heart. It's why I'm here. I want to do a couple things. You know, I believe with all my heart this ministry is an educational ministry. I also believe that it's an educational ministry. I know this for a fact. It's an educational ministry that I never wanted. Never wanted. I whined and moaned about it for years when I was first on the radio. It's not something I aspired to do. But coming to the notion that whether I like it or not, it's the gifts God has lent me. And I pray that I can now use them for his good. And if I'm helping you to understand some things, selfishly, I get to participate in growing the kingdom, because you all will feel better about your money. Know you're not grieving the heart of God. No, believe in 1 Samuel 2, where the Lord says, for those who honor me, so shall I honor. Knowing that you're going to be receiving God's blessing, and you're going to be able to give more. I'm not talking about giving more. I'm not talking about the kingdom of financial issues. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kingdom of Christ. I'm talking about you giving to your church, because your church is seeing people come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. You're going to be able to give to great ministries that are proclaiming the gospel and proclaiming the truth. And I get to kind of behind the scenes, selfishly participate in your act of obedience in giving to the kingdom work. I'm telling you, folks, there's no better place to be. And I'm grateful that this ministry is about that and able to help you do that. And I hope you understand that that's the viewpoint. I don't care what broker you use. I don't care what financial platform you're trading on or who you're using. That's your role. I just want you to know what you're doing and know first and foremost that I've got to honor God and not grieve his heart with the blessings he's given me. We'll be right back. You know, it's been over a year since my wife and I decided we are getting off the government grid of healthcare, where government is being more and more intrusive in our healthcare and trying to control what doctors we go to and how much it's going to cost us and how much out of pocket and whether we can have a particular service a certain way or not. We decided we want to get back to the book of Acts. And we did that by going to Samaritan Ministry. SamaritanMinistries.org, a health-sharing ministry that can save you money and allow you to take control with Christians sharing in other Christians' healthcare expenses. I hope that you'll consider Samaritan Ministries. SamaritanMinistries.org. Check them out and request a packet from SamaritanMinistries.org. You'll be amazed at how wonderful it is.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. Would you consider partnering with us in the ministry? Let me tell you what you'll get for a partnership with Financial Issues. You'll get access to my stock pick list that I put out every Monday. You'll also have access to your own asset allocation model. You'll get my email alert system that goes out on a weekly basis, sometimes twice or three times a week, that might alert you to something that's going on in the markets that could impact your portfolio, maybe a specific to sell a stock. By the way, everything I do is biblically responsible. When a stock, for some reason, takes a left turn, that company, and is no longer biblically responsible, I immediately issue an email alert telling you to sell it. You have access to our conference calls, our asset allocation model, and much more. Would you partner with us at financialissues.org? That's financialissues.org.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You hear me talk every day about being biblically responsible. Folks, we cannot continue to support all the things that are responsible for eroding the moral fiber of our country. But more importantly, these are things that God detests, yet we invest in them. And that's why I love Timothy Plan so much, because there are mutual funds that do not invest money in those things. Would you support them? But more importantly, when you call them, would you thank them for supporting Financial Issues? You can call them to thank them at 800-846-7526. 800-846-7526.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do that. Listen, I was just talking about why we're here. I was talking about our mission statement, what we're about, what God has appointed us to do, and I'll tell you something else about Financial Issues. I don't want to over-spiritualize, and I certainly don't want to make any assumptions. Because like you, I don't deserve God's blessings by any stretch of the imagination. But I do know this, He continues to bless this ministry. And I have watched, consulted, and been a part of ministries in some way, shape, or form, usually from a consulting perspective, that I have watched fall away to nothing, start not having been able to, being able to make ends meet and so on and so forth. And they never make the connection. They are drifting out of the obedience of God. They never make that connection. I make the connection, as hard as it is for me to tell them that. And I pray that the reason that God continues to bless this ministry is because we continue to walk in His obedience and are scared to death to ever step off the path that He has put before us and dare to try to walk on our own path. I happen to know that my path is not a path I need to be on or want to be on. So it is another reason, I guess, to partner. And as I look at YouTube, I'm looking at some questions here. There's a fellow, I don't know if it's a fellow, it could be a young lady, just plain common sense.
They say, thank you, Dan. 11 years ago, I bought a $20,000 boat. In June, I sold it for $10,000. I invested the $10,000 in IT20. That's a stock in our technology sector. IT20. I'm up over 90%. I took the profit off the table when it was 80%, 88% up. And I'm letting the $10,000 continue to work. Wow, great stuff. They're the kinds of things. They're great things. That's one of the reasons why we're here. That particular stock is dropping. That's good. We'll get a chance to buy some more maybe. But, we've had some great runs. And these are picks that I've made by God's grace. And a lot of analytical, maybe God's grace has come through by the way of giving me a skill or the insight to see something. But nonetheless, consider I have opportunities to do that, and it's a wonderful thing, and it helps so many people. Oh, man, somebody is asking me about two other stocks, IT stocks, one IT42 and one IT36 for those partners. Those partners that are listening. So wondering whether they should dollar cost average as they go down. Is now the time to be dollar cost averaging in them going down? I would say yes. IT36, I would still wait a little bit longer before I start doing that. Listen, I don't want to try to get this right at the bottom. But I think there's probably some more downside movement. But absolutely, definitely, without a doubt, you should dollar cost average down in that IT36 if you, in fact, are down in that. Maybe you've taken all the profit off and now you're running down. Great time to be dollar cost averaging down. On IT42, I would say now would be a good time to start dollar cost averaging down. So, yes. But let's say you take a stock like this, folks, IT42, and you're saying, I'm going to dollar cost average down. And suppose you've got money set aside and you can dollar cost average. You want to put $1,000 in this, the dollar cost average down. $10,000, $5,000, $500, whatever it is, I would only do half. I would dollar cost average with half of it. And now you can get burnt because it may start to run up from here, or it's going to go down further and you get to put the others on there. If it starts to run up and it runs up for now, the 40-day moving average is now positive as opposed to negative. If that happens, then put the other half in. If that other half still is buying it below where you originally bought it, then still buy into it. So, yes, is your answer, yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of how you dollar cost average into it. Look, I got to bring this up to Akmar. One of these days, he's going to call and tell me how to pronounce his name exactly. When I look at it, I see Akmar is what I see, but I don't know if that's right or not. But I would say, and he's a very faithful listener and partner. So I would say that you would, when you're dollar cost averaging like this, remember IT42, IT36, you bought those stocks, I hope. If I remember right, you're young. You bought those stocks because I hope you have a 10, 15, 20 year, maybe even, or longer time horizon. And whenever we are investing, if you're a relatively new investor, folks, whenever you're investing in these stocks, you're buying in for the long term. 2 years isn't long term. 5 years isn't long term. You have to understand that in the life cycle of every single stock that you own, in that life cycle, every single stock, you will be down, you will be negative, you will be dramatically positive, you will then be dramatically negative, you're going to be all over the place. But if you want to be a good, solid investor, not a trader of stock, but investor, then if that is the case, you will find out that in the long run, you are going to be fine, and you will likely, at least I'm just talking about the stocks on my list and my picks, I'm not talking about in general. I believe you are going to do well. I believe you're going to do well in the long run. And that's why you did it originally, was for the long run, right? So maintain that thought and understand that you're there to be doing it for the long run. So Sandra is asking me about two stocks. And one of the stocks, she is asking me, their utility stocks, 43 and 29, both utility stocks. And she's asking me if the one stock, 29, should she be buying into it ahead of any kind of merger talks? Look, 29, if you're an income investor, since this is an income stock, I'm going to assume you are. If you're buying for income, look, I don't think you should worry about where it is or what it's doing. I would be okay buying in at any time. So, yes, if you're looking at, I'm not sure whether you're adding to or you're buying in for the first time. And if you're looking at stock 43, then yes, I would tell you about that stock. I think it's reached so the merger effect of that stock is already done. It's a done deal. The symbol on this stock is going to change on, don't hold me to this, but I think the 17th of the month, the symbol is going to change. But the merger is done. So, yes, the symbol is going to change, but it's already official and done. So I wouldn't be and by the way, the merger is making this company an even better company to own. It's a mid-cap growth and income company. And I would suspect by the end of the year or beginning of next year, that you're going to see this stock under its new symbol name. You're going to see this highlighted in blue. It's probably going to be an income stock. I mean, still going to have growth opportunity, but probably going to be an income stock. So, I don't know if you I would definitely start, if you want these utility companies, 43 and 29, then yes, I would start buying into them now. If you don't own 43, then I might consider, instead of 43, looking at 42. Not 43, 29. Instead of 29, that you start dollar costing average into 42 as opposed to 29. So I sure hope you're listening, Sandra. I hope that helps you. We got a number of other questions here on YouTube and Facebook. We'll get to them and on the phones. 844-707-5533. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. Like every ministry, we need to raise support to continue in the work that the Lord has for us to do. One of the ways that we do that is we ask you to help support the ministry by becoming a partner with us in the ministry. What you get for that partnership is access to our investment strategies. You'll get access to our asset allocation models, my stock picks that come out every Monday, our email alerts that may tell you when to buy or sell, or maybe give you comfort during a volatile time. It is an incredible value for $85 a year, and you get to support the ministry. It sure would be a blessing to us. Would you consider supporting Financial Issues and be a partner? I guarantee it'll be the best investment you ever make. Go to financialissues.org, financialissues.org to support the ministry. I sure would appreciate it. Preborn.org is one of the greatest ministries, I believe, that is saving the lives of babies, the unborn. Would you go to preborn.org right now? Consider $140 will allow five young mothers to hear the heartbeat of their baby, changing their mind to choose life over abortion. Preborn.org. Preborn.org. Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. I hope that you will consider partnering with Financial Issues. One of the things that you're going to get from that is access to our buy list, access to our sell list. You're going to become educated about the economy and see testimonies from people just like you. I hope you'll consider going to financialissues.org, partnering with this ministry. That's financialissues.org.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. All right, let me go to Paula real quick. Paula calling us from Texas. Hey, Paula.
Hey, Dan. Thank you for your ministry.
And, sure.
And all your information you give us. I had mentioned to your call screener about some stocks that I have.
Okay.
One was sold, and it's now UT32.
Yes.
And it's on your broad list, and I'm up in that. I have three that are on your broad list that were previously on your buy list. Do I hold those?
Yes. If it leaves the buy list, that just means you hold it.
Okay. I was listening what you were saying before you went to break, and it was, I guess I just needed that confirmation that I'm on the right track.
I guess you're not, based on the other stock. So you're not looking at the income portfolio. You just happen to have this UT32 when it was on the buy list, and it is an income stock, but you own that. That's great. That's fine.
Yeah.
The CD34.
Uh-huh. I'm concerned about that one.
Yeah. That's a... do you own that?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, that company's going through a little bit of a rough time, and it's going to probably, by the looks of things, the rest of the year. But it's okay. It's a great, great company. You know, if nothing else, if you take away their core product that this company produces, this is an incredible commodity company. And it's the largest commodity company of its kind in the world. And, you know, it's not a company that is, you know, that it's always going to just keep plugging along and do well over any long period of time. So it's a one that you just keep forever. I've contemplated making it a foundational stock for that reason, but it is a great company. And I'd say the same with the CS 38 the own. So they're holds. You're just holding them for the long term. Don't worry about them going down. Don't get nervous. Just hang in there. If they go down well below what you bought them for, you might want to add to them. It's always a good thing to do.
Okay.
And if you don't understand that, if you don't mind, I'll just explain that to you real quick.
Sure.
For the edification of everybody listening. So, folks, think about this for a minute. So if you own a stock that you pay $20 for
and it's and you buy it at 20, and let's say it just keeps going down. It's going down. Now we get into a correction and a recession, and it goes down again. It keeps going. Now that $20 stock is $10. If you buy, and let's say you own 50 shares of it, and you bought it at $20, and now it's down to 10. If you buy another 50 shares at $10, now you only have to wait for that stock to get to $15 before it gets profitable for you, instead of waiting for it to come all the way up to 20. Because it might take 2 years to get up to 15. It might take 3 years, 4 years to get back up to 20. In the meantime, you cut that time in half of when you're starting to make profit again on it. So that's why we dollar cost average when it goes down, because it helps us recover faster in the stock that we own.
Okay.
So it's a great lesson.
Can I ask you about the CS38? I'm way up in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just...
Yeah, so the one thing that we can do when, of course, we're way up is, you know, we can look at, selling the profit. Meaning, let's say you're up, pick an amount of money here, and wait a minute, you just got that, right? You haven't had that long.
No, I've had it for a while.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah, I'm up like 40%.
Okay. So then you've had it for a fair amount of time, because it's been a while since it was on my buy list the last time, between the time before last. So you must have got it the time before last when it was on my buy list, I guess. Yeah. That's a company. So the consumer staples have gotten beat up really bad. And they're probably going to continue to get beat up a little bit. And here's what I would say to you about that. That's a good thing, because that means the economy's probably real strong. If they're getting beat up, that means people are selling out of good old steady kinds of things, and they're moving into more aggressive things. They will flock back to these consumer staples when things start getting bad again, and those things will continue to go up. And so it's going – so consumer staples as a whole have been going down. This particular consumer staple, because of what they do, has continued to hold its own and continue to stay strong. Mm-hmm. Because it's a micro cap company, I would probably leave everything alone. You can't ever go wrong by selling some of the profit. So if you're up $500, sell enough shares to get your $500 out. There's never anything wrong with that. And if you want to do that now and keep what you have, and if it goes down, buy some more of it to get you back to where you were, that would be a good strategy.
Okay.
So you can do that, but I wouldn't have a problem with you keeping it here as well.
Okay. I have one that it's not on your buy list or your broad list.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be when I first bought it, but they were supposed to have a call on it in last March, and so I'm down a little bit, but not bad. But I just don't know what to do with it, because it's not on either one of your lists anymore, and I wanted to.
So is it is it a real estate investment trust?
Uh huh. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So is it? I would probably keep it at this point. Okay. The reason why I took it off the broad list was because I had a note on my commentary section when I did that about, I just took that note off this week. I had it on for about 3 or 4 weeks, but just explaining why I was taking it off. It was temporarily taken off my broad list, because I'm always afraid that people, though I say this all the time, don't ever buy anything off the broad list, only buy it if it's on the buy list. They do it anyway, because especially an income stock, because they're looking for income. So I just took it off the broad list altogether so people would know about it, couldn't drift from my strategy.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned about that whole sector, that whole real estate investment trust sector over the next 3 years. But I would be okay with you keeping it. The only problem I have with you keeping it as opposed to somebody else is you don't have it just for income.
Right.
So if you're only down a little bit right now, I would probably tell you to sell it. I hate to tell you to take a loss, but it's just not something that I feel real good about in the long term. I think there could be more pain than good. Now, if you want to wait until after the November elections, you want to wait another 2 months, you can do that. Because if the November elections go towards maintaining the pro-growth atmosphere that we're in the economy right now, in other words, if Republicans hold the House of Representatives, then I would want you to own the stock.
Yeah, I'm only down
slightly.
2.25%. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Not.
Yeah,
major.
I mean, you can hold it. You know,
okay.
You can hold it until after the elections. If the elections don't go well, then the next day after the elections, you might want to sell it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. You made me feel better. Thank
All right.
you so much. I am a partner with Preborn, so.
Oh, great. Wow.
Thank you for bringing that to us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for that. I appreciate your heart.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
You have a great day. Thank you so
much. I will.
Much.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Great stuff. You know, Paula, first being a partner with us, and we're so blessed by that. We appreciate her partnership, but also partnering with Preborn, and what a blessing that is. You know, as much as I talk about our ministry here, some of the wonderful things we're trying to do, and we are, and where God is blessing us, we're growing, we're expanding, and we're so grateful for what God is doing. But I'll tell you something, nothing is more important. Nothing is, I say, do, or teach, is more important than saving the lives of those babies. And, you know, I'll never be able to say, well, you know, yeah, you should give there, but, you know, don't forget us. I'll never be able to say that because that's far more important. And I know that the Bible only speaks about one time about all the angels in heaven rejoicing over someone that comes to the saving grace of Christ. But I got to believe that the angels are rejoicing, and I know God's heart is full of joy. Every time a young mother that is planning on getting an abortion chooses life over that abortion. And for you guys to participate in that with financial issues, it's preborn.org, and you can dial right now #250 if you want to give $140, sponsors 5 ultrasounds. And it's those ultrasounds that change those young mothers' hearts from abortion to life. And we have saved tens of thousands of babies over the years, our financial issues families. We want you to be a part of it. I hope you do. Folks, I sure appreciate all of you being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Make sure that you stay tuned, stay with us. Have a great day. God bless. Keep thinking clearly. Keep thinking biblically. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us. This has been